He was 3,000 miles away from me when this began. He was in another world. I was boarding an airplane for a country I'd never seen, and one that I'd never want to return to again.
Now, from Hollywood, romance. Romance. Stories of love and adventure, of excitement and derring-do. Today, South America. Intrigue and revolution between two warring factions. And now with Gene Bates as Shelley Reynolds, we bring you transcribed Weldon Fane's unusual adventure, Dateline Escobar.
You will like our country, senorita. Lovely mountains tipped with snow, green valleys fresh with the smell of new earth. Ours is a land of the future. We are still undeveloped, still struggling from the poverty of the old
ways.
I've
read a great deal about Escobar, Senor Sanchez. I couldn't tackle this kind of assignment unless I had.
Yes, of course. Forgive me.
Well, I didn't mean to seem rude. I'd like to see your country through my own eyes, to write my impressions as they occur to me. It's really no different from any other correspondent approaching a new subject.
Yes, I understand, Senorita Reynolds. Your magazine has certain requirements.
Tell me about President Payoto.
What do you want to hear? That he is a modern Bolivar? That he is a savior in South America?
If you think that...
He is my president. He is the leader of my party. Would you have me think less?
Didn't they bury the last man who ran against him?
It was not Juan Payoto who killed him. Payoto was grieved by the incident. He is a great man, sometimes misunderstood. I hope you will see.
I promise you, Senor Sanchez, I will see only what is there. My magazine had given me the assignment to do a piece on President Payoto and the Republic of Escobar. There had been more than the usual rumblings of revolution in this South American country, and my editor felt we should be there for the real outbreak when and if it should start. Coincidentally, on the plane, I'd found myself sitting next to one of Payoto's top advisors. And of course, it was no coincidence at all. We landed just after dark at the Airport Nacional. And I wasn't too surprised when Senor Sanchez invited me to come with him to Payoto's summer palace. We drove for an hour over a twisting gravel road that climbed steadily. Finally, the car stopped before an imposing mansion, and I was escorted up marble steps through the huge doors, then down a tile corridor into a tremendous room.
Senorita Reynolds, well, well, welcome, welcome.
From across the room he came toward me, short, fat, bald, smiling, wearing a gold lamé dressing gown and gold embroidered slippers. The Honorable President Juan Payoto.
Well, Senorita Reynolds, Sanchez telephoned me from the airport. So good of you to accept our invitation.
Well, it was very kind of you to ask me.
Pedro! Pedro!
Dear President!
The food! The food! Where is the food?
Forgive the service, senorita. You need something to eat. Americans like a midnight snack before retiring, eh? Mm. You will stay as my guest.
I'd consider it an honor.
Don't mention it. You know, of course, I was educated in the United States.
Columbia, class of 27.
Oh. Ah, I like that. Thorough. Tell me, did you like what you read?
I haven't decided yet.
Wonderful! You haven't decided yet. Wonderful! Pedro, the food! The food, you idiot!
be invited to remain at Pioto's palace as his personal guest was an opportunity I couldn't pass up. I was given a suite in a separate wing of the building. There were two servants to chauffeur me around the countryside. But the excursions were generally depressing. Poverty, illiteracy, disease were commonplace. There were signs of the struggle to bring civilization into this raw land, but they were too few. One evening, after a magnificent feast, Pioto and I discussed it.
It is true. I have food while some are starving, but is this not true in your country?
Well, not to the fantastic extremes I see here. Your people are destitute. Your country's bankrupt.
Why do you imagine I want a loan from the United States? I want to build roads that people can travel on, and schools. There must be more schools.
And what are you going to teach in the schools?
Democracy, like the United States. I admire your country, senorita.
That statement is for publication, of course.
Oh, of course, I admit it. I invited you to stay here for that very purpose. I want the American people to know the truth. And you will write the truth in your magazine.
The truth as I see it.
So, you are free, are you not? Have I tried to restrain you, to influence your articles? You have a car to go as you please. This is no Iron Curtain here.
Where does your palace fit in a democracy?
Someday it will be as the White House is to your country.
What about right now?
When the people are educated, only then. Now they are like children.
That's an old argument, the paternal ruler.
You do not understand, my people. There are many needs I must fulfill.
Like guns?
Then you know of the resistance.
I didn't come to look at just one side of it.
It will not last. I will crush it.
With U.S. money. The money you hope my articles will help you get.
You do not believe me, do you, senorita?
Perhaps. I'm not sure. Your ideas are interesting. But your methods are questionable.
Then you may leave. You need not insult my hospitality.
You can't stand criticism, can you? Seems to me it's a common failing among dictators.
I am no dictator! Now get out of here. Get out.
I watched him as he hurried out of the dining room. Later, I browsed through the books in Pioto's library. About midnight, I took a walk out in the warm night air. A full moon sent brilliant light over the rose garden. It was as I was returning to the palace that suddenly a man stood in my path.
Senorita Reynolds?
Huh? Who are you?
My name is Ocho. You must come with me at once.
Why?
It is your life. Juan Pioto is angry, and when this happens, one learns to move quickly.
You are with the resistance?
Ah, si. Lieutenant Ocho.
And we're going to your camp?
Si, senorita, please, have patience. We will explain in due time.
We drove for an hour before we pulled up in front of a large stone farmhouse. Lieutenant Ocho led me inside and down a dark corridor. We stopped before a great oak door, and removing his cap, Ocho knocked.
Carlos, it is Ocho.
Enter.
The room was long and low-ceilinged. At the far end of it, a man sat working behind a battered desk. He looked up as we entered. A dark, brooding kind of man. Thin, agile, as though he could move in any direction at any moment. Yet his face was young and incredibly handsome. His eyes met mine and held there.
Please excuse me, Lieutenant Ocho. I would like to talk to Senorita Reynolds alone.
Of course, Carlos.
Senorita Reynolds, I am Carlos Mendoza.
Yes, I know.
I invite you to stay here with us, with the resistance, to observe a part of Escobar you have not yet seen.
Lieutenant Ocho said it was urgent. He said it meant my life.
We have reason to believe Pioto will kill you rather than let you write the truth about our country.
I see.
Trust us, senorita. We are your friends. Stay with us and let us show you the real Escobar. Your visit will be a rewarding one.
Thank you, senor. I'd hope for an opportunity to visit your camp.
Good. Lieutenant Ocho will show you where you are to sleep. Good night, Senorita Reynolds.
That night, I thought of the man behind the battered desk, of the way our eyes had met, and of the uncertainty in his voice as we talked, of the terrible feeling of unsureness I'd felt. Finally, I fell asleep. The next day, Lieutenant Ocho showed me the resistance camp. It wasn't a prosperous army. There were lean faces and shabby tunics, but there was determination, too. The kind I'd seen on other faces in other countries. It was almost dark when our tour ended. After we'd eaten, Ocho took me once again to the headquarters of their leader.
Please sit down, senorita.
I want to thank you for the tour, Senor Mendoza.
Were you impressed with what you saw?
Impressed? I've seldom been impressed by war.
But you see, this is an army that can fight.
Yes, I'm sure it can.
Lieutenant Ocho tells me you were very interested. Perhaps you will write of the things you have seen here today?
I assure you I will, senor. But I don't propose to pass judgment, merely to report the conditions of your country.
I thought the writer would have the courage to write what he knows.
You spoke of truth last night. I'm looking for it.
Last night, when you were brought here, senorita, I had the feeling that I should not let you stay.
But you did. Why?
I do not know.
Well, if you're still unsure, why did you send for me tonight?
To find out if you are with us? No, that is not true. I saw you today, twice. Both times you were looking at me.
I wasn't aware of it.
I was, senorita. Very much aware of it.
I think I'd better leave.
Do I frighten you so much?
No. That is, I think I'd better return to Puyoto.
You seem confused, senorita. Whereas, I am not confused at all.
Carlos, I must go
that
back.
That is not what you really want to do, senorita. I thought not.
Really, I... Oh, Carlos. Carlos. Later that night, we sat beside the campfire with some of the men. Carlos was pensive, almost sullen, as he stared into the fire. Gradually, the others drifted away until there was only the two of us, alone in the world, it seemed.
Your mind is far away.
Not really.
Is there more in the world than this farm and these people?
Other farms and other people, I suppose. Not a great deal different from us.
Except that they have freedom.
Some of them do.
Those who fight for it.
Some vote for it.
Vote. And be killed if the ballot is not marked as directed.
Is that what Juan Peyoto does?
Of course. How else does he stay in power?
Well, many of your people like him.
He is corrupt.
Perhaps. But corruption and murder are different crimes.
Lovely one. So naive. So trusting.
I am trusting, Carlos. I suppose I'll always be.
I thought writers were hard people, accustomed to seeing misery, poverty, death.
Carlos, could there be a peaceful way? A settlement without bloodshed?
Now the naivete is becoming stupidity.
Couldn't you go to Peyoto, a delegation, make your demands for reforms, air your grievances?
And be executed. My lovely one, you are more childlike than I could imagine. Come here to me.
I don't think it's childlike to avoid war, killing, revolution.
The naivete is no longer amusing, senorita. Like all Americans, you can see things only one way, your way. You talk lofty sentiment to foreigners and are cutthroats in your own homes.
That kind of statement sounds familiar. Too familiar. I'll say goodnight, Carlos.
You can't stand criticism, lovely one, eh? Your country is perfect. Everyone must bow to the great United States. In Escobar, we fight for justice.
Good night, Carlos. I spent a sleepless night thinking of the things Carlos Mendoza had said to me. And with the dawn came the realization that things are seldom so clear as they appear on the surface. That within this country there were many forces struggling for control, and each was willing to seize power at any cost. The next morning I asked Lieutenant Ocho about this.
There is great poverty, Senorita. Many have died this past winter.
And Peyoto killed them, is that it?
They died of starvation. Is it not the same thing?
No, I don't think it is. To you and to the others, Peyoto has become the symbol of everything that's wrong in your country.
But you approve his methods?
No, no. Listen to me, Ocho. Peyoto has great power, and sometimes he becomes drunk with it.
See? That I know.
But he's also frightened of it. He's afraid of you and your movement. He senses the danger of revolution. Yet he feels that his country deserves something better.
He fears a dictatorship of the people?
Yes.
Well, all the more reason to destroy him.
To end his power, yes. To destroy him, no.
Senorita, may I say something that is on my mind?
Yes, Ocho.
Is this passion of yours to avoid war, is this a passion of the mind or of the heart?
I suppose it's both.
Then I speak to you as a friend. Let it be only passion of the mind. To Carlos Mendoza, there can be only one true love, his cause.
Thank you, Ocho. Two days passed. I saw Carlos many times, but never alone. He spent his time with Ocho and the others making plans. Each day, men came to the camp and were armed with guns or knives or even clubs and given food. Each day, the men in the camp gained confidence from their growing numbers. And finally, early one evening, Carlos sent for me.
Senorita Reynolds?
Senor?
The men tell me you have decided against us.
Do you believe that, Carlos?
The men say you think we should not fight.
I think you should talk with Peyoto. At least try it. I can arrange a meeting.
Please, I did not send for you to ask your advice.
Then I'm giving it anyway. Are you so blind with hate that you can't try reason?
We have discussed this before, Senorita.
You called me stupid.
For that, I am sorry.
Carlos.
The past is forgotten.
So quickly.
My country comes first.
Your country or your vengeance?
You may go now, Senorita.
What if I stay?
Then I will know you are nothing more than a spy for Peyoto. Yes, now I know why you came here so willingly. You're no reporter of facts. You want propaganda for our beloved presidente. Well, go to him, write beautiful descriptions of Escobar, and leave us to our work.
My wandering American friend has returned to us.
Would it be impolite for a lady to ask for a drink?
And so sad, too. Could it be she did not like her experience with the resistance?
Then you know where I've been?
But of course, Senorita. You have been with Carlos Mendoza. Poor Senorita. Life is not as simple as it should be. The villains are not villains, and the heroes, they are not heroes. You do not know that it was I who told the resistance that I was about to kill you. So you could see these things firsthand. Here.
Thanks.
Now you have visited both camps. What do you think, my lovely friend?
A plague on both your houses.
Oh, so that is it. You want us both to lose.
Or win. I don't think there's much difference.
But there is, Senorita. I am a dictator. You said it yourself. They are my people.
They're a vengeful mob. A handful of impatient men.
Senorita, I came to power in the last revolution 5 years ago. I was filled with great ambition. I was going to be the Bolivar of my country, the great liberator Juan Peyoto. I knew it would take many years, perhaps a lifetime, so I did not hurry. I underestimated the needs of my people. I am to blame for the impatience. Now, it no longer matters.
Why do you say that?
Because tonight your friends of the resistance are going to attack.
You know that?
Yes, I know that. You know, they say in war, many sparrows must fall. I am sorry, senorita. You are too beautiful to become a fallen sparrow.
I finished my drink and went to the room Pyotr had given me. Suddenly, during the night, I was awakened by the sounds of gunshots, then the clear rattle of machine guns, and men shouting from all directions. I rushed for the door. It was locked. And for the first time, I noticed the barred windows. I was Pyotr's prisoner. This was to be his fight, alone. The next morning, one of Pyotr's servants unlocked my door. Silently, he led me toward the main offices. There were men in the corridors, moving quickly. More men than I'd ever seen in the palace before. The servant opened a door and let me inside. Juan Pyotr lay on a satin-covered bed. Beside him stood a priest.
I wanted to say goodbye to you, senorita.
Goodbye?
This man in the black robes tells me I am going someplace. He does not say where. Senorita.
Yes.
I am sorry you missed it. Carlos was there. He was magnificent. You would have been proud.
Did Carlos...
No. It was the fool with the machine gun. You were right. No one will win.
In nomine Patris et Filius et Spiritus Sanctus. Amen.
Outside, the grounds were littered with the debris of war. Some of the women were caring for the wounded. I searched among them, the living, the dead. But he wasn't there. I asked, and they told me that when it was over, he'd been seen driving away in the army jeep with a man called Ocho. I can't say how long I sat on the marble steps and looked toward the mountains. Yet I knew I'd never see him again.
Romance is produced and directed by William Frug, with editorial supervision by Het Mannheim. You have heard Dateline Escobar, specially written for Romance by Weldon Fain, featuring Gene Bates as Shelley Reynolds, Jay Novello as Juan Pyotr, and Harry Bartell as Carlos. Others in the cast were Lawrence Dobkin as Ocho and Parley Bear as Sanchez. This is Jack Haddock inviting you to hear Romance transcribed next week at this same time. Even a pessimist can look forward to a good time on CBS Radio's Two for the Money quiz Saturday nights. Stay tuned now for Gunsmoke, which follows immediately over most of these same stations.